Item F, land purchase application. The borough has received an application from Taylor Jensen to purchase borough-owned property at 505 Mill Street, not to be confused with Mill Road. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on March 10th, 2026, as required by PMC 16.12-080, and recommends approval of the sale subject to the applicant either consolidating the parcel with an adjacent lot they own or granting a utility easement. The assessed value of the property is $7,500. I would entertain a motion to sell this property to Taylor Jensen through direct sale.
So move.
Second.
Clerk Regula, is that okay wording I put forward there on that?
Yes.
Just making sure. Discussion. So I was listening at home, I've looked at the map. It's as evidenced by the property value of $7,500. I don't think it makes sense to put that out to auction. It's just adjacent and it's pretty gullied, isn't it, Clerk Regula?
Yes, that's what I understand. I think Director Cabrera could speak to that as well. Oh, she stepped out.
It's all good. I don't have any issue with it all. Any further discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Meachie?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Thank you.
But no, and that passes unanimously. G, item G, tower site alternatives requested by Assemblymember Meachie. Member Meachie requests that we provide direction to the borough manager to work with Tidal Network to identify alternative borough-owned properties suitable for a communications tower to replace the current site adjacent to the fire station. The selected property should meet Tidal Network's technical specifications while being located away from populated areas. The borough manager is requested to return a list of proposed properties with a brief description of why each site might be suitable, along with specific reasons why any sites are not recommended. I entertain a motion to approve this.
So move.
Second.
Motion was made by Member Meachie, seconded by Member Valentine. The floor is yours if you'd like it, Member Meachie.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have this on here, and I'm not sure if it has the support to move forward, but I wanted this on here because I know in the next several weeks that we will be asked to make a decision regarding the parcel that is that Tidal Network is interested in up by the fire hall. And I'm sure most of us have heard different conversations or have had different conversations with community members about other pieces of property that are in the general area of the fire hall. I know there has been some talk of up by the Water Tower Hill, over by the FAA thing, over by the rock quarry, and those spots don't, you know, meet the requirements. They have some counterintuitive spots, like I don't think you'd want to put a radio communication tower up by a rock pit. That just seems counterintuitive. And I know there's been other assembly members who have, you know, asked for maps about where pieces of property are that might be a better fit. And I don't know if the assembly wants to move forward with this, but I wanted to get it out there and at least hear some discussion one way or the other and see what the assembly wants to do.
Member Meachie?
Thank you.
Further discussion?
I'll go.
Member Martin?
I've been thinking about this quite a bit, and sites keep coming up. We did have a work session where we looked at a lot of them, but I think Liz was remote, and intriguing things keep coming up, but I just don't feel at this point that it would be good faith in the things I've expressed regarding Tidal Network pursuing an alternative out of Papke's implied that I was receptive to the fire hall sale. And I think it would be pulling the rug out from under that. So, but by all means, if something happens and the fire hall sale fails, of course, it's a great idea.
Thank you, Member Martin. Further discussion from the assembly? I'll chime in briefly. I'll be voting no, and not because I think necessarily alternative sites are a bad one. Mr. Manager cut me off if I'm speaking out of line at any point. This is more procedural, so I'm just going to be more or less thinking out loud. And we've given the borough manager direction to drop a contract for the one near the fire hall, right?
Correct.
And that's in process?
Yes, sir.
Yep, got it. Thanks. So checking the easy boxes first. Make sure you cut me off. I'm out of line on this one. But if we were to give you conflicting instructions right now, which I could see this as, that doesn't feel like good faith negotiations to me. I just want to hear from you on that one. Then I'm going to keep going for a minute because I'm thinking.
I think the assembly owes title and answer. I mean, at this point, they feel we're negotiating a contract, and we have been going back and forth for the fire hall location. And the assembly is not yet giving them an answer on that. So whether it's no, in which case, you know, the title could then decide to look for other properties, or if it's yes, then we move forward with that. But I think title deserves an answer in one way or the other, since they started the whole application process, went through that whole process with P&Z, went through that process that was unanimous up until recently. So I think the borough owes them an answer on that issue. Yeah.
Right.
And if it's no, then it's no, and then they will, rather than telling them where to locate it, they can come back with another application and go through another process of picking another location if that's what they want to do. Or if it's yes, then we move forward.
So. Right. Thank you, Mr. Manager. That makes sense. Just to summarize my thoughts on that is, if when the contract is set and we vote on it, it's voted down, that strikes me from a timing wise perspective would be a time to look at alternative sites with them or have them. They know what they need, not us. We're not the tower people. So I'll be voting no on this so that we can get that on the agenda to vote it up or down, and then we'll just go from there in the future. That's my two cents. And yes, Member Valentine.
Thank you. I think everybody up here has been thinking a lot on towers, and I think that we've had many, 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 many meetings about with title about possible other spaces, and I don't think that this is a bad idea. However, it is also pretty much up to title to decide whether or not they would like to go and choose these other ones. So we put in all this work for them to basically be like, thanks. All right, let's move on with this thing that we already have in front of us. And then, like member Stan Greger says, yes or no. And so I'm going to vote no, but it's not that I don't think it's a good idea. It's just that I just don't think it's going to do anything. I just truly don't. And I think that moving forward with what's currently at hand, because that's what they've spent months doing, then we can, after that, go from there. And then also, even if we were to give these areas here, 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 and here, what says that they like those areas anyways, and then they go across the street or they whatever, I don't know. But I I love the idea, but I just don't think it much comes out of it. So anyways, thanks.
Member Schwartz, excuse me.
I think putting it on the agenda here was good, just to get some discussion going. There's been a lot of different properties looked at, and I would agree that thumbs up or thumbs down, get the vote done. But I do appreciate being on the agenda for discussions, and obviously, there's still a lot of people concerned about this, and I don't think it's going to go away. So that's all I had.
Thank you, Member Schwartz. Any further discussion from the Assembly? Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know it might sound odd, but I probably won't be voting for this. But, you know, I wanted to have this on here so that we did have the conversation that, yeah, we understand the community is concerned about it. But, you know, for that area of town, you know, that seems like an okay location for me. And I know I have concerns about towers, but I've been, you know, talking to Chris Copley at Title on a regular basis, and I am trying to be honest and upfront with him. And I appreciate where this community is coming from. And I think, I'm not speaking for him, obviously, but I think he understands that there's some real concerns of the community. And I think there's a potential to have something good come out of this whole discussion on towers with title. But we'll get to that later on today. So, but thank you.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Member Newman.
Yeah, I agree with what everybody has said here. I just want to say, I guess, reiterate my desire or my advocation for the ordinance regarding wireless communication facilities. That's the number one tool we have in the toolbox, and I think that we need to expedite that process to the extent possible. Otherwise, if we had had an ordinance prior to this, we wouldn't be having these conversations. So that's my speech.
Thanks for the ordinance plug. Appreciate it, Member Newman. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk call the roll.
Member Newman?
No.
Member Valentine?
No. No.
No. Member Mucci?
No.
Member Schwartz? Member Martin?
No.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Nope.
Thank you.
That fails on a 0-6 basis, bringing us to item H, bicycle, make sure I've got that right. Yep. Bicycle and pedestrian path maintenance and DOT coordination requested by Assembly Member Mucci. Member Mucci would like to provide direction to the borough manager to work with the State of Alaska Department of Transportation to clear the bike and pedestrian path between the cemetery and the 2.5-mile marker. During discussions, the borough manager is also asked to begin conversations with DOT regarding the development of a memorandum of understanding for coordination during the fall and winter seasons. I'd entertain a motion to approve this request.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Valentine. Member Mucci, the floor is yours if you'd like.
Sure. I put this on the agenda when there's a bunch of snow on the ground at the first part of April. And I understand who owns what, who does what. And I had a great conversation with the Public Works Director, and he explained a lot of stuff. But I was wondering if somebody within the borough can explain who owns what, who does what, so that the community who gets tired of hearing from me can hear it from the city manager or the department heads about who is actually in charge of keeping that place clear. And I know, and before I let loose here, I know it's been a rough winter for snow, but I think it's a big deal when there's people walking out in traffic on the highway all the time. And I'm just trying to figure out if there's a better way to handle it in the future. Thank you.
Through the mayor.
Go ahead, Mr. Manager.
Aaron, please feel free to, if I screw anything up here. So I'm going to talk about three different areas. So sidewalks on Haugen, the walking trail that runs from, you know, give or take around the fire hall out to the airport, and the bike trail on Mitkoff Highway that is in this ordinance. All three of those things and responsibilities are the responsibility of the State of Alaska's DOT. So they're responsible for cleaning those sidewalks. They're responsible for the bike trail by the fire hall, and they're responsible for the Mitkoff Highway bike trail. I would encourage people, rather than adding the work to the borough, I would encourage people, you know, now it's getting into something I probably shouldn't have, which is basically encourage you to write letters or talk to DOT, because we do on a regular basis, telling them, hey, we're getting complaints. We're seeing people walking in the middle of the road because they can't get to the bike trail. I don't know if it matters to DOT or not. Maybe I can even suggest a resolution from the assembly at some point that we can send to the South Coast Regional Director and say, this, we need this to be a higher priority. I think it's an important priority to the community, and we probably need to weigh in with DOT to see if they're willing to make it as high a priority. Aaron, I don't know if you've had any conversations with local DOT and what their statements are.
Not recently, I've not. You know, I do know that it's on their radar, and as the manpower and the equipment is available, they do get to those pathways, but it's not a priority for them.
Anyway, that would be my, I mean, did I hit?
Yep.
Because Well, this ordinance is talking about the bike path. Reality is we get equal number of complaints on those other two areas.
On the other DOT things. Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Member Valentine, you were waiting there.
Yeah, thank you. Honestly, I kind of spaced it a little bit. Come back to me.
Not a problem. Member Schwartz.
There are a lot of areas that we've been getting by with Good Samaritan type behavior. You know, there's, well, I'll just say it, Dan McMahon. He's got his snowblower and he hits the sidewalk sometimes all the way to South Harbor and then all the way up here to the other side of South Harbor. I know out in North Nordic, that whole sidewalk gets hit. And I'll be walking and going, this is wonderful. And I know the usual suspects out there. It's one of four guys hit it in the morning at four. So we've been getting by with that. Otherwise, it would be a lot worse, I think. That's all I really had. Thanks for all the Good Samaritans out there doing that work. But it would be a bigger issue if we didn't have them.
Member Newman, thank you, Member Schwartz.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to admit, initially, I was going to vote no on this. But after thinking about it more in some of the discussions earlier about maybe a resolution, I think that might be a really good idea. You know, DOT, their number one priority in the wintertime is the runway. Their number two is the roads. They're understaffed, by, I think, by one person. And they, you know, they eventually do get to the sidewalks, and it is a major public safety issue. There's people walking in the streets in poor visibility and poor conditions because they can't walk on the sidewalk. I mean, this is a serious thing. Somebody could actually get seriously injured, or worse, they could be killed. And so if we passed a resolution to that effect and sent it to DOT, I don't think there's any harm in that. I think that's a positive thing. I think we should. I think we are obligated in this role to protect the safety of our people, and that's a major issue.
Thank you, Member Newman. Yeah, I'll be voting no on this today because that's their property, but I was wondering if we could put it in the clerk's ear to, at some point in the not-too-distant future, get us a resolution of that?
Yes, certainly.
Good. I think we should keep our foot on the, you know, all gas, no brake with them. Not that I said it'll do anything, but... to take care of their own backyard. Anyway, I'll be voting no on this because that's not our property. And I'll state the obvious, and Director Morrell, you cut me off if I'm missing. Even as city public works people, you were very, very busy just keeping roads open to get us to the schools and hospital this winter, weren't you?
Absolutely. Winter was relentless this year, as we all know.
So, no, man. Look out the window, it's harsh. Yeah. Anyway, I'll be voting no on this request, and we'll look forward to a resolution. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Member Martin?
No.
Member Valentine?
No.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
No.
Member Schwartz?
No.
Member Mucci?
Nope.
Member Newman?
No.
Thank you.
That fails on a 0-6 basis, bringing us to item I, research and evaluation of a fish box fee requested by Member Mucci to provide direction to the borough manager to research the implementation of a $10 fish box fee similar to the program currently in place with the city-owned borough of Sitka. The goal of potential implementation in 2027, the borough manager is requested to return a recommendation to the assembly outlining the positive and negative aspects of such a fee. The intent is to minimize impact on borough staff by utilizing charter and lodge operations for accounting and reporting through existing sales tax and transient room tax processes. I'd entertain a motion to approve this request of the manager.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Valentine. Member Mucci, the floor is yours if you'd like.
Thank you. After Mayor Lynn got elected as the mayor in October, he handed me this folder about the fish box tax, and the only correspondence was me and Debbie Thompson from 2019 about my interest in a fish tax box. And he says, here, go do this. And so there's been other things kind of happening in the background. And at one of our meeting, another assembly member said, that's a good idea. So I
that's where we are. I'm trying to figure out how we can get this fish box fee put in place, not this year, but next year. I've talked to the city of Sitka, their finance people, and they leave all the burden to collecting fees and reporting their fish box taxes to the charter boat owners or the lodge owners, and it seems to be working fine for them. My intent here is not to burden borough staff with it, but I'd like to see just some research to some positive and negative things about this and what it could mean for Petersburg. So that's where I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Valentine.
Thank you. I did bring it up last year.
Yes.
I did bring it up last year. And I think everyone, at least at the time when I had brought it up, it came to like who's going to do what, right? Who monitors, who does what? And then like passing it on to, and from my understanding of this is that you'd have the lodges basically account for it and then pay the borough, right? Okay. When you looked into this, $10, is that what Sitka's doing?
Yes.
Sitka's doing $10? Okay. I of course love the idea of doing this. I would like to see a more, somehow, if the lodges are going to do such a thing, I'd like to see some kind of maybe like sticker element to it or something that says that it has been paid, because then it, at least for anybody that's up at the airport, which that's when we see it, right? And then, because no one here is going to stand up there and just,
right.
did you pay? Pay me $10, right? That's just, and then you're paying my time to go up there and do it or whatever it is. But it'd be kind of nice to have this really obvious yellow, red sticker on this white box that everyone buys. And if we provide that to the lodge, that's the borough's side of things, or they paid for it with the resale card, or, you know, that's how you implement that. I do like that could work. I don't know what it's going to generate, but I also agree that any money is good money right now. So even if it only generates like 10 grand over a year, but you do that over time and you save that for bathrooms or whatever else we need to do, yeah, I agree. And I just wanted maybe a little bit more we get into the fine details of how we actually do it, because I think a lot of the community will start second guessing whether or not that person did pay for it. And I think something visual would be good. So thank you.
Before you go, Member Schwartz, my initial inclination is to vote no on this, but the reason why, not because I just want to be a naysayer. When I'm reading this, the borough manager is requested to return a recommendation to the assembly outlining the positive and negative aspects of such a fee. You know, I spent some time with the finance director and the borough manager on this. I feel like both you and Jody could give us some positive and negatives right now if you'd be so inclined. I don't think we need to turn you loose on a mission to do that, but I could be wrong.
I can speak to it.
Please.
But I think Jody needs to backstop me, and she'll have
a
I'd expect nothing less from Jody.
So,
we've looked around to try to find out who does this and who doesn't, which is something in itself. We found two cities in all of Alaska that charge a fish box tax or a fish box fee, Gustavus and Sitka. That's it. Homer doesn't, with their huge charter fleet, does not. At Sitka and Gustavus, both they use a similar system where they tell you, you have to come down to City Hall and buy a sticker at $10. Its price is the same.
Yep.
And those stickers are then divvied out among whoever their clients are, and their client pays them, and then the sticker goes on the box. It's an honor system, so if the lodges or the charter boats choose not to do it, they don't do anything about that. The issue I have at the enforcement side is pretty interesting, because so if we go up to the, we implement this, we go up to the airport and we see boxes that don't have stickers on them, what do we do? According to our attorney, we have no authority on airport property to enforce it. So we just basically, I mean, suppose we could say, okay, I see Steve over there without stickers, and then we say something to him, but we can't prove it. So the whole enforcement is where things start to fall apart. It works well in Sitka because they're three times our size and they've got three times as many charter boats. And they've, however, their honor system seems to work for them. I didn't get a great answer from Gustavus on whether it works or not.
But, sure.
So that's probably my biggest concern. Positive is, as James said, it's, you know, money we're not collecting today. Quick estimate, we think maybe 30 grand a year.
Yep.
And by the way, that estimate is based on population size, not on anything else. So it could be way off. I mean, I'm just saying they're three times our population. We know that they're getting about 150,000 average over the full year. That's where that money came, you know, that estimate came from. So it's highly inaccurate, probably. So it really comes down to the enforcement side of it. You know, we walk up to, even if, let's say we talked about it in the parking lot, we walk up to someone who's got a fish box tax with no sticker on it, and we say, you know, Giesbrecht, you're stealing fish. You need to pay your, well, it's fish I caught for my relatives. I'm taking it with me down to Sacramento. You know, this, we didn't talk about doing that, and how to be able to, how to tell the difference between a fish box from a charter or a lodge or somebody's
personal use. I follow.
We don't know how to enforce that. And we definitely will not make any money if we have to put somebody at the airport looking for it. Anyway, Jody, you want to take it from there?
And Jody, can I ask one question before you take it also? No, it is
great. Oh, sorry.
No, it's good. We're on the thread. When I think of the math on the thing, so we spitball around 30% or 30,000, sorry. My thinking was a better way to make money off the, to get guaranteed money off of that was for sales tax cap was higher so we could, you know, lodges. But anyway, I want to hear from your spiel and thing. I want to interject that piece.
Well, I think Steve basically covered it. One thing that we have that Sitka doesn't have is we have another airport that's kind of close to us in Wrangell, and people could start going to Wrangell with their fish boxes, I guess, if they really wanted to avoid that, which we probably don't want. Yeah, like you said, if we really wanted to get tourism dollars, get sales tax on tourism dollars, that raising the sales tax cap would probably be the simplest thing to do. We tried to do that a couple years ago. It failed by less than 10 votes, I believe. I ran some numbers last week, and over $7 million a year in tourism sales are exempt due to our low sales tax cap. So times that by 6% is $420,000. That would, you know, be probably, if we raised it to $5,000, the cap, it would probably cover most of our tourism sales. Just something to think about putting back on the ballot this fall. Because I think we do want, you know, we want to keep our sales tax increasing, but we also want to, you know, get as much as we can from the people visiting our community and using our streets and things that we pay for. So I hope that the assembly will consider putting it back on the ballot again.
Thank you, Jody. Appreciate it. Member Schwartz.
I brought it up because I hear about it a lot down on A, B, C, D float. And I talked to Bill Miller out Calder Mountain Lodge about this last summer. He said, that's okay, we'll just go to Wrangell. And they buy groceries here, they buy booze, they buy gas, you know. So we'd rather have them coming here. We get some sales tax out of them that way. I brought it up just because I thought it should lead to some good discussion. And the enforcement thing is a nightmare, sounds like. So
I can't figure it out. I mean, I'm open through the mayor. I'm open for ideas. I just can't figure out how we enforce it, which
negates all the money.
Well, and it seems to me that, you know, you've got a lot of self-guided outsiders, I'll just say it, outsiders coming in. And so if you put the burden on the charter operators and the lodges, and what about all these self-guided people from wherever? They don't have to pay anything. And 10 bucks, can't even get a jar of mayonnaise for 10 bucks. So that's my input.
Go ahead, Member Valentine, sorry.
No worries. Thanks. Last comments here. I think everyone is aware that the enforcement is the hardest for sure. Like, who does what, you know, so on. But I also think that with anything, and I'm thinking of it like culturally, like it takes time to build this new culture, and it takes time to get the backing behind it. And if these lodge owners are true Alaskans that care for the amount of fish that are being pulled out, and you have our fleet down at the dock also there that care about their fish, I mean, maybe the first year is rough. You only get 10% of people doing it. Next year, maybe 20, because there's a little bit of guilt behind it. Maybe then next you have 50% of people. But I think it's like it's a statement that shows that the community is like, hey, you can come here and fish and you can do what you need to do. But I think that it does show like, hey, we are culturally shifting. You come in here, you take our resource. I also think that you should do your part. And I don't think it's going to be an easy rollout. I do think, though, over time, I actually think people would be surprised. We said that, you just said it about Sitka. I don't know how they do it. It's, I think, just because all the younger, new charter people that are coming up who are my age or younger or maybe just slightly older, I mean, we want to be here now, right? And we have this new mindset of how what we envision Petersburg to be like, right? And I just think that we will, by at least trying, we in the future might be able to get at least like 80% of those people actually doing it. So I think it's just a time thing, and I think we should try something. Yeah, thank you.
Just as a clarifier before I call any member Mucci, I have no particular issue with the fish box fee in the least. But looking at the action item before us, I know I'm being a little dork on the rules, but it feels like the finance director and the borough manager, you've researched this fairly thoroughly, yes, already?
We have.
Finish where I'm going with that then is, so I'm inclined to vote no, not because I don't want a fish box tax necessarily, just if this feels redundant and this is something you've done already, I don't want to turn you loose on it. Where I would say then, if it passes, cool. I think I'll be voting no, but any of us as an assembly members could bring forth an action item for a fish box fee if we were so inclined, yes? Mr. Manager?
Correct. Jody said it, and it needs to be repeated. There's far more upside to us spending our time working on a sales tax cap.
Much more money. I'm with you.
I mean,
I'm just talking procedurally.
All aspects, including some member Schwartz talked about, you know, because that goes right into people, you know, self-chartering a boat. You're getting money from that.
Oh, I'd see the Papkies all summer, man.
You know, and we have limited time and resources, so spending time on something like that is far more beneficial to the borough as a whole.
No, mine was just procedural in terms of, because this vote is to give you direction to go run this down. It feels like you've run it down and we can go from that. So I'll be voting no on the request. Any further discussion? Member Mucci.
Yeah, the reason I didn't want it to be an action item is because I wanted to have some in-depth research into seeing if it would work and if not, and then come back for an action item. When we implemented the marine passenger fee back in the day, I don't know how many years ago it was, we had no idea what we were doing. We just put it into place. And now we're in the process of adjusting the marine passenger fee to meet some of the changes that we've encountered for that. And I mean, as we get through the budget process, we're going to ask people what they want to do without and how can we afford to pay this and whether or not it's only $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000. I mean, it would be helpful to, if anything, maybe just clean the toilets that are outside. But I didn't want it to be an action item tonight. I wanted it to be a thorough look at the positive and negative. If enforcement was a big issue and we weren't able to deal with enforcement, yeah, let's not deal with it, but have it looked at with the idea that it could be implemented next spring. Yeah, that was my intent here. That's why it's not an action item.
I mean, it is an action item to give him the direction, but I get your point in terms of the tax itself. Member Schwartz, and then we'll tie it up.
Yeah, I'll be brief. I think when the locals hear about we up the utility rates, let's create more tax income, and yet they see the resource going away, and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of pounds of it go away. I think it causes some frustration. I think that's why it comes up. Hey, you're taking, and you give nothing back, it feels like, with some people. So that's why I think that's why it's here.
Roger that. Thank you, Member Schwartz.
Mayor.
Yep, Member Martin, proceed.
I'll be voting no, but I thought it was a good discussion, so thanks.
Agreed. Member Newman.
I'm going to vote no, too, but I just did a little math out of curiosity, and $30,000 divided by $10 is 3,000 boxes divided by, like, June, July, August by 90 days. It's 33 boxes a day. So if
nice we, math.
That's 33 boxes a day, an average. Some days probably more, some days probably less. But anyway, I know I approached the same thing about three years ago, I think, when I first got on the assembly the first time and basically had exactly the same discussion. You know, so what's it going to cost to implement it versus how much you're going to make? And yeah.
So we should do it.
Go right ahead.
To Assemblymember Schwartz's point, which I think is super valid, point out to people, self-charters, charters, the lodges themselves, if that sales tax cap wasn't there, they'd be paying a lot more. You have lodges that lump entire parties together on one bill, so they only pay $72 in sales tax, not on each one. You know, I mean, you the opportunity and the enforcement side of it is already built into play for the sales tax cap is a lot greater. And it can be, and it's directly tied to what a lot of visitors pay. Anyway,
it's all on how they report it.
Well, they have to report now, but they report in a different way. We stop allowing them to congregate bills. You know, meaning, you know, all seven of you go on a charter. They don't bill each of the seven of you. They bill you once for all seven is a group, yeah. And there's only. And so they avoid the sales tax.
You're saying you're able to get around that?
Well, because they can provide bills, and we also have that audited on a regular basis. So I'm not saying they can't game the system, but it's a lot harder when you take that opportunity away from them for folks that are doing exactly that. I mean, again, to Assemblymember Schwartz's point, it's not just locals that would be paying that. There's a big part of the you know, visitor traffic.
I'd largely who'd be paying that for the big ticket items.
Paying that. I mean, self-chartering boats, what they pay, all of that comes into play. Anyway,
back to the action item. Any further discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Member Martin?
No.
Member Valentine?
No.
Member Newman?
No.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
No.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
No.
Thank you.
Motion fails on a 1-2-5 basis with Member Mucci voting in the affirmative. Bringing us to action item J, letter of support for Tidal Network extension requested by Assembly Member Mucci. Consideration of issuing a letter of support for Tidal Network related to its request for an extension of its Tribal Broadband Connectivity Program award. The proposed letter is attached for Assembly review and consideration. I entertain a motion to approve this letter.
So move.
Second.
Which has been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Valentine. Member Mucci, the floor is yours if you'd like it.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, this letter came about during a conversation I had with Chris Cropley at Tidal Network in some of the discussion about possibly Tidal Network purchasing a piece of property up close to Mitkoff Highway and keeping the piece of property at Rory's Road for a storage area. And the conversation was kind of like, well, we might not have enough time to buy that piece of property and get that site put together before the grant runs out. And so they had applied to this Tribal Program Connectivity Program for an extension on their grant. And I asked, well, is there anything that the borough could do to assist in that or help with that request? And he said, well, if you guys wanted to send a letter, we would be, that would work for us. And so I gave this letter to Clerk Regula, and she made it borough-specific, and it's before you to see if you guys wanted to support it in our ongoing negotiations with Title Network. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Any further discussion? I'll briefly chime in. I don't see any downside to this. I think, as Member Mucci just said, we've been working with them for 8 months now, and if they feel like it'd be in their best interest to have some more leeway and latitude on time, I don't see a letter of support doing anything but help in all this right now. So I'll be voting yes. Any other members? Clerk, please call the roll.
Member Mucci.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton-Greger.
Yes.
Member Martin.
Yes.
Member Valentine.
Yes.
Member Newman.
Yes.
Member Schwartz.
Yes.
And that letter of support passes unanimously. Communications, we have correspondence available on the website. For assembly member discussion items, I requested this one, the Board of Equalization summary. Just since we're in discussion here, who's been a part of the BOE before? We've all done it? Okay, Member Martin hasn't. And so you guys, this maybe is also for the public, but since that is tomorrow, a reminder for all of us to, actually, a brief anecdotal thing. I know we've been here a long time. My first time I did a Board of Equalization, it was pretty new in borough formation, so there was a lot of appeals, like a lot, mine being one of them, but I got it resolved beforehand. And I've spoken to him about this, so I feel very comfortable using his name, Bob Murray. He lives down by me in Kuprinoff, and he's a very similar waterfront property of my own. And he was talking about how he's very, if you're listening at home, you can't see it, but he has a very narrow waterfront piece. And by valuation, though, his next-door neighbor, who has a huge swath of waterfront, they were valued the same per square foot. And for my time on the Board of Equalization, I learned this because I agree with somebody doesn't necessarily mean the law supports them. I thought it was just a very eye-opening experience for me on BOE, because as we know, they're a very, very strict criteria for how we can vote. So aside from contract negotiations, it's probably my least part of being in the assembly, because I find myself having to vote against people who I agree with a lot of the time, if that makes any sense. So anyway, we got that all attached for tomorrow. Just hope everyone shows up prepared so we can do our jobs, not as assembly members, but as the Board of Equalization. Any other comments?
I feel a sore throat coming on.
I don't blame you one bit, Member Martin. Touche. Anything else in that discussion item?
I emailed the packet to all assembly members for tomorrow's meeting, so you could take a look at that and see what is on the agenda for the board.
All right, I'm scrolling back up here. Give me a second. Almost there. That brings us to assembly member comments. And our recognitions. Member Valentine.
Just a quick comment. Now that the snow is gone, there's a lot of dog poop. I just want to put a plug in Public Works, maybe two trash cans where the DOT and the borough line meet at the Libby's there. Just plugging that in just to see if it takes. So thanks.
Thank you, Member Valentine. Yeah, this time of year is tough for that. I was out at Sandy Beach the other day. The place that has more garbage cans than anywhere, but it's gross. Anyway, any other comments or recognitions?
Soon it will all be dust we're breathing in. That's any comfort.
No. Director Hankins, recognition, I believe.
Sorry, I had to come up here for a microphone. We sent some volunteers off to the Southeast EMS Regional Conference about a week and a half ago. They participated in a challenge for BLS pediatric CPR. So if they ever had a child in cardiac arrest, you know, a competition on who can handle that patient most competently. And I'm proud to say that our four members that went up there, they took first place.
That's excellent. So it's
kind of neat. The new EMS coordinator, Ryan Gilkey, Lieutenant Sarah Wright, Michael Burnett, and Katie Pearson. So congratulations, guys. Thank you.
Go them. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. Any further recognitions? In that case, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Adjourned.
Thank you.